Just a tip, you might want to stay by for the postlude because the Wind Symphony will be blessing us again during the postlude. In the musical Fiddler on the Roof, Tevye, the Jewish father living in Russia, comes to God and he says, "Oh, dear Lord, you made many, many poor people. I realize, of course, it is no shame to be poor, but it is no great honor either. So would it be so terrible if I had a small fortune?" And then he sings, "If I were a rich man." Is it a shame to be poor? Sometimes we act like it is. Pastor Fred Craddock, who's approaching 90, says that when he went to his very first church, they had an emergency fund for the poor. They told him that it was open for him to use at his discretion. However, he needed to follow the guidelines. So he asked what the guidelines were, and they said, "Well, you can only give this to the deserving poor." And then they had a whole list of what made the poor deserving. It had to be somebody who was working, because if they weren't working, that might mean they were lazy. And by the time they got to the end of the list, he said no one would really qualify, that his guess is that money is still there. It's kind of like the banks that are willing to give you a loan as long as you can prove you don't really need it. The Salvation Army did a survey not too long ago, and they found that 27% of Americans say that the number one reason people are poor is that they are simply lazy. It was even worse in the first century. It was a virtue to be wealthy. One writer of the Greco-Roman world says those who were rich did not look on the poor and say that they were superior, the rich were superior humanity. Said the way the rich saw it, they were the humanity and the rest were something less than that. It was into that kind of a world that a local kid went to the synagogue one day, as he had always done in his hometown of Nazareth, and was given the scroll of Isaiah to read for the scripture. And he opened it to the place that said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." All eyes were then on Jesus. And then he said, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." This was Jesus' mission statement. This is the passage of scripture that he used to say, "This is what I'm all about. This is what I am going to do." And the very first thing on the list is to bring good news to the poor. So what was the good news Jesus had to bring to the poor? He certainly didn't have a lot of money to give them. He says that foxes have holes and birds have nests, but he doesn't even have a place to lie his head. It wasn't like that old TV program that most of you are too young to remember, but I remember, called The Millionaire, where some anonymous donor would give this money and they would go out and give $1 million to somebody. He wasn't like the man from Publishers Clearing House who goes and surprises someone by knocking at their door and making them very excited about receiving money and disappointing thousands and thousands of others who had filled out all those papers and had hoped it would be them. He didn't have any winning lottery tickets to hand out. So what was the good news he had for the poor? Some people look at one incident in Jesus' life and think that he really perhaps didn't care about helping the poor, because he said, they're always going to be around. You remember it was when Mary anointed Jesus with that very expensive ointment, and she was criticized afterwards. This money could have been spent on the poor. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Don't bother her. What she's done is a good thing. And then he says in Mark 14:7, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. And some people say, see, Jesus says the poor are always going to be there. You can't do anything about poverty anyway, so why try? Well, it's pretty clear that's not what Jesus meant. Actually, he's quoting from the Old Testament, and I'm sure as he did not intend to circumvent the Old Testament message, Deuteronomy 15:11, which says, since there will always be poor people in the land, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. So Jesus is quoting a passage that says, because the poor are always with you, open your hand to them and help them. So what is Jesus' good news for the poor? I think we get our first clue at the end of this passage that Jesus read in the Nazareth synagogue that day. He says he's come to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Now that refers to the Jubilee year. You remember in ancient Israel, they were to have a time every 50 years when there would be a year of Jubilee. The debts would be forgiven. If people had lost their property, it would revert back to the original owner so that it could stay in the family. The slaves would be set free. All this would happen once every 50 years. Well, Jesus says his ministry is like the Jubilee year, except it's not going to happen once every 50 years. He is bringing a whole new regime where things are going to be different. He calls this the kingdom of God, and it has new values. And in this new regime of his, the poor are not shamed, they are honored, they are blessed. He says it in the Beatitudes, especially as Luke presents them in Luke chapter 6. Jesus says, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Jesus says, this new kingdom that I'm bringing, this new kingdom that comes in my ministry and is going to grow and one day fill all in all, is a kingdom where the poor are blessed. And this kingdom actually belongs to them. They're my kind of people. So much so, he says, if you do something to one of these, if you help them, you've done it to me. Because these are my people. I identify with them. He says, the poor are the kind of people you ought to hang out with. When you give a dinner, Luke 14. When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Jesus says, this new regime that I'm bringing is a regime that belongs to the poor. And after Jesus was resurrected, his disciples and those who had chosen to follow him made up a new community of believers that modeled this kingdom. And one of the things they did was make sure that they took care of the poor. Now, over the years in early Christianity, the strategies differed because different situations called for different strategies. Right at the beginning, they pooled everything together. We read about it in Acts 2. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as they had need. And in Luke 4, there was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned land or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Now, as the church grew, this strategy wasn't able to continue, but they still had concern for the poor. We find in Acts 6 that they're still distributing things to the widows and to the poor. Actually, they got into a bit of a dispute. There were the Aramaic-speaking Jewish Christians and the Greek-speaking Jewish Christians, and they didn't feel that they were being treated fairly vis-a-vis the other group, and so the apostles picked a group of people, some men, just to handle this distribution. We call them deacons, although in the text they're not called deacons, but they took care of this so that the apostles would be able to continue their preaching. But this was such an important part of the early church that they chose these men to do it. Later on, the situation changed again. We find that when Paul goes out into the cities of the Mediterranean world, they are much more well-to-do than the poor Christians back in Jerusalem. And so Paul takes up a collection. He spends several years collecting money from people in Macedonia and Greece. Two whole chapters in 2 Corinthians, chapters 8 and 9, tell about this collection. And then he gathers it and he takes it back to the poor in Jerusalem. Even though he's at a point where he's in Greece and he wants to go to Rome and then to Spain, but he goes all the way back to Jerusalem because taking care of the poor is that important in the early church. And I'm not sure what happened there. So what does all this mean for us? I want to suggest two things. Number one, it means that if we are a part of God's kingdom, we will have a concern and care for the poor. And I am grateful for the many different ways and different strategies people in this congregation are working. It was good to see what happened last Thanksgiving and Valentine's Day with that program. It's good to see that our kids in their basketball league not only have fun, but they have a day of hoops for charity where they raise money for those who are less fortunate. It's been wonderful to see the ministry of the block parties down in Colton. And now the school there across the street from where the block party was held that has become a continuing ministry. That's a school that's a stone's throw from us, really. And 90% of the kids in that school come from families whose annual earning is below the poverty level. 90%. I talked to one of the teachers when we went down there at Christmas. And he has a mission to teach there. He could teach other places. He said it's really hard some days, though. He said, for instance, some of the kids come with no jackets or coats. They can't afford any jackets. And on cold days, he has to send them out on the playground anyway, because it's not legal to leave them unsupervised in the classroom, and he has to be outside supervising the playground. And so he has to send those kids out even though he knows it's going to be cold for them. And he said some days he just plays games where he keeps them running the whole time so they won't get too cold. At Christmas time, Kids from Loma Linda Academy, the elementary school, took presents to the kids there. And it was so much fun to watch them not only give presents to these other kids, but then to stay and play with these other kids and become friends. And they're making it a continuing thing, and they're going back. That brings me to the second thing. If we're part of God's kingdom, we will not shame the poor or scorn the poor. We will value the poor because we know that Jesus' kingdom belongs to them. You see, it's possible to work for the poor and to help the poor and to do it with an attitude that is condescending so that we don't really show respect and value and honor and dignity. And the poor are part of God's kingdom. They're part of us. We are all just that far away. No telling what kind of disasters can come. We are all part of God's children, and the kingdom belongs, especially, Jesus says, to those who are poor, because he cares and reaches out to them. And that means that if we're part of that kingdom, we honor and value. I mentioned Fred Craddock at the beginning. He says that when he was growing up as a boy, it was still a time when there were really hard times in this country. They lived not very far from a railroad track. And there were a group of men camped down there who rode on the boxcars. And he said one morning he came down and here was a strange man, poorly dressed, unshaven, sitting at the breakfast table, his mother serving him, and he was eating like he belonged there and was probably never going to eat again. It bothered Fred. It was kind of scary. And this guy didn't really belong at their table. When he left, Fred asked his mother, "Who was that?" His mother said, "Well, his name was Henry. He comes from the camp down there by the railroad. They call them hobos. But he came and said he was hungry, so I fed him." And Fred said, "Well, I don't like that. It's scary." And his mother said, "He was hungry, so I fed him." That's all she needed to say. If we're part of the kingdom that Jesus brings, we will not blame the poor. We will value them. We will not shame them. We will honor them because we know that the kingdom belongs to them. Lord God, we're thankful that Jesus became poor so that all of us might become rich through him. In Jesus' name, amen.